You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have Kimberly Carney on the line, and she is founder and CEO over at Fashwire and Glosswire. Kimberly, first off, just welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh my gosh, so such a pleasure to have you on the show and to welcome you as a new author in one of our upcoming books. And I had the pleasure of meeting you in person a week or so ago at the Fashwire launch event. So we're going to talk about that. We will, of course, talk about what you're doing over at Fashwire and Glosswire as well. But before we do that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Kimberly, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Kimberly, what mission matters to you?
The mission that matters to me is making an impact, whether it's in business or personal, just as long as I'm able to make an impact with the passions in my life, that's what matters to me.
And love bringing mission-based individuals and entrepreneurs on the line to share why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn and gain from it so that we can all, you know, rise and grow together. So great to have you on. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, so tell me a little bit more about how you got into the fashion industry with Fashwire and otherwise. Like, was fashion, was that part of like dream or your upbringing?
No, not at all. Actually, just the opposite. I started off in tech after I graduated college and really enjoyed being in the tech world, went into .com and then got married and had my first child. And I decided to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom for a little bit. And then after my second was born, I decided I wanted to get back to work. So I started my own marketing company and a boutique hired me to do her events. So I went on a buying trip with her and loved it so much. Just even today, when I walk into one of those showrooms, I still get butterflies. And so I thought, well, how hard can this be? I can open a store. So I did it with a girlfriend and ended up buying her out 2 years later. And I had a successful store up until I came up with the idea of Fashwire.
And so, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that'll watch this and executives. And I think it's interesting. So you had this idea, you go out, you're re-entering the workforce and or traditional workforce, I should say. It's not like you took time off. And now you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, starting your first store. Like, how'd you get that off the ground? Because, and the reason let me tell you first off why I asked this question. A lot of people got ideas. They want to get things done, but not everybody makes that leap or takes that next step. Like, how'd you do it?
Well, like I mentioned, I thought to myself, how hard could it be? Because I was an executive in marketing, but I learned really fast how hard it can be. And really, it was determination and learning and understanding. And it takes time. You know, you don't really get it right at first, but, you know, you just keep pushing forward. And that's how I did it. I really just didn't stop. And I think that's important. If you can have a great idea, but you also have to be able to have the determination to execute on that idea. And so first, it was a store, and I had no idea at the time it was going to lead me back to tech, but it really was great to be able to put the two passions that I love together, fashion and technology.
If you could go back to that Kimberly that was just starting, if I could take you back to those store days just a moment longer, what kind of advice would you give yourself back then?
Oh, gosh, you want the short
version? No, that's a tough one.
I would give myself advice not to be so arrogant and think that, you know, I could do it just because I had an understanding of business, because you can have great understanding of business. You can have great knowledge of your industry. But like I said, if you can't execute, if you're unable to be creative in getting around the obstacles that come your way and pivoting, it will not happen. It's too hard to really start a business and, you know, make it go forward if you cannot drive it forward.
Well said. And I feel like I asked that question for two reasons. Number one, I want others that are going through it right now that are, you know, still haven't maybe hit that stride to get it and to understand that, like, we've been through it. We're going through it. There's different ups and downs in business. Like, you're not alone. There's an entrepreneurial community out there that can empathize with you. And then number two, for those that are seriously considering entering the idea of being an entrepreneur, starting a business, it's definitely not for the standpoint of you get to be your own boss and, your time is yours. If anything, you get to work more and possibly you're making less in the beginning than where you were at your normal corporate job. So definitely consider wisely whether or not being an entrepreneur is for you, right? And if it matches your lifestyle.
Absolutely. And it is. It's harder work than you can imagine. And it is your business and you have to work that much harder. That's the misconception I think people have. You know, the other thing that I would have, you know, touched point on is really surround yourself with experts in their field that you don't have that expertise, because that's how you learn.
So I want to jump around here a little and have to bring up the book. So I'm so thrilled and excited to have you in the upcoming release. And for everybody watching this, just to let you know, we're not going to do a deep dive into the book today or Kimberly's writings today, but we will be bringing Kimberly on for a return interview. Think of it as the second part of the series. Well, we will do a deep dive into her contribution. But I guess just to get us started there, Kimberly, tell us a little bit more about some of the ideas you plan to propose.
Ideas I plan to propose
in the upcoming book.
Well, I think we're really focusing on, you know, being an entrepreneur and the lessons and how to pivot and how to make good choices and really how to navigate yourself and a team through the ups, the downs, and everything in between.
All right. I don't want to spoil it. Like I said, we're going to keep that very basic today. We'll be bringing Kimberly back on. That's enough. We do sell books, so and we'll bring you back on. But that being said, I do want to move on over to a Fashwire. So you mentioned it was the offspring, or it was the result of foray back into fashion and now transitioning back into tech after that first or multiple locations. So how did the idea for Fashwire come about?
So I would go to the trade shows to buy clothes, and I'd see these, you know, emerging designers. And I really have a soft spot for entrepreneurs and brand owners. And I would take a chance on an unknown brand, and I'd spend, you know, a couple $1,000, and then they wouldn't sell next to the bigger, well-known name brands. And I thought that, you know, just listening to the brands and their pain of these emerging designers having to pay X amount of dollars just to have a bad spot at a trade show, or just to not even be able to be in Nordstrom's because they couldn't afford to make the product or, you know, whatnot. So I thought there's got to be a platform where we could put emerging brands with established brands to get that exposure, but then get the consumer feedback to really help show the brand what's resonating with the consumer, that so that they could in turn sell their product.
I want to go deeper, but I want to break this kind of topic or the way we look at it, Fashwire, maybe into two different parts. So obviously there's a brand side of things, and then there's the consumer side. So maybe let's start at the brand side, since that's part of the reason why you created the platform in the first place. You mentioned up and coming designers. I'm just curious, what type of brands are you looking for? What type of brands make sense for Fashwire as it stands today? Because I know it's evolved quite a bit.
Yes. You know, we have contemporary brands, luxury brands, extended size brands across all categories, apparel, shoes, accessories, all ready to wear. So those are the brands that we are looking for to be on the platform.
And how do you support the brands on the platform?
We support them, you know, through our powerful consumer base. We are more like a data hub for the brands to help them navigate consumer demand and also give them that vital feedback to help them understand what's resonating with the consumer. So we give them the data reports. And then we also have Fash Talks, which is really understanding the brand and the owner behind the brand and their location, whether, you know, because we have over 40 countries now. So from their location to where you can find them. And we have our Instagram lives and our Instagrams where we focus solely on our brands and giving them the exposure they need to progress their brand forward.
Tell me about the pitch competitions.
Pitch competitions are great. So we're like an incubator. We've become this incubator for these emerging brands where we'll host a pitch competition, and then we go out and we get industry executives, whether it's from, you know, Hearst or technology or, you know, different media in the industry. And then we also provide, not only does the winner win a cash prize, they also get this mentorship, which for me as an entrepreneur is so important to get that advice, because that helps the brands get a better understanding of really what it comes from these experts who've been here before and understand it. And sometimes they even help them move forward in their own brands.
And so what kind of feedback have you heard? Because one of the things that when you say this, I'm thinking about like other platforms and other ways to bring people together. And for you to bring that type of mentorship, and I'm not saying it's easy in any profession, right? But in fashion specifically, like that's really invaluable on every side of it, the production, the design, like any different part of it, because it's not the easiest industry to stick out in, right? Like what kind of feedback have you heard from these competitions and this incubator overall?
The competitions have been great for our brands. They really have, you know, one of the biggest things that I received was they thanked me for giving them the opportunity because it helped them understand their brand better. And I think as, you know, somebody who's pitched and who's actually, you know, I started off really bad. There's video out there, but, you know, who's actually won a pitch competition, you know, I think it's great for them to just see my pitches and to be able to get that advice and feedback from me and to be able to pitch for me directly, I think is very powerful for the brands.
Now, I don't want to oversimplify this because I know every pitch is going to be different. I know every brand's different, everything, you know, it's always going to be different, but are there any elements? I know there'll be brands and other just entrepreneurs might be outside of fashion, but that'll watch this. Is there anything that sticks out to you in a good pitch?
I think it's super important to really help whoever you're pitching to is, you know, the why and how you're going to solve the problem and then how you're going to execute on it. I think those are the three things that are important to whether it's you're winning a pitch competition or, you know, trying to win a pitch competition or talking to investors. They really want to understand how you're going to get to your end goal, but they also want to understand why are you doing this? What problem are you fixing and how do you solve it?
Switching up a bit, I want to know, so we've talked a bit about the brand side of things. What about the consumer side? So the end consumer, how are you supporting them with Fashwire?
We're giving them exposure to worldwide brands, you know, and I think we really proved a concept in the pandemic when retail shut down because we had this powerful platform with, you know, consumers worldwide. And we were able to show them, you know, brands they probably had never heard of before. Yeah. And they also get to go in and they get to, it's almost like a Tinder for fashion. You can swipe left if you like it, swipe right if you don't. You can comment, you can give feedback. But really, it's that gamification piece I think is fun. And I think everybody wants to be an influencer, whether you are a fashionista or just somebody who is particular about what they're wearing, or just, you know, you can go in and say, yeah, I like it. Yeah, I don't. Here's why. And I think for the consumer, I think it really builds a powerful community for them.
And why I like what you say, it's just ease of use, right? So swipe right, swipe left, and you get to kind of learn and pick, right? And ultimately, it makes it easy for you and it makes it fun. So the gamification component. And then you have the other component that, I mean, everybody that's been watching this show for a long time, they're probably tired of hearing me talk about it, but you got the community component of it as well. Fash Talks. Tell me a little bit more about how that idea came up.
We really wanted to support the brands and really wanted to tell their story. I think that a story behind a brand is so important. And today's consumer really wants the authenticity of a brand. They want to know what matters to them. They want to know, you know, whether they give back, whether they're sustainable, whether, you know, or if it's in like another country, they really want to understand that the brand. And we give that opportunity with our Fash Talks because it's really a designer interview. And we ask some great questions. And you really get to learn the person behind the brand.
Are there any examples of something that sticks out? And by the way, I don't mean it has to be from Fash Talks. It could be from any fashion brand or brand out there that just kind of sticks out that you find tells a good story of whether of their brand. Are there any examples that stick out to you?
Fashwire. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's hard when you have so many brands on your platform.
I know there's a lot, so I didn't want that to seem like an unfair question, but I had to ask.
Why I said Fashwire.
Because I also don't want you to choose between all your brands. So that's not what I'm trying to do is set you up for when they watch this interview. You didn't mention us. That's not what I'm doing to you, Kimberly, but I'm just curious if anything sticks out.
You know, there are many that stick out. Yeah. And I think the ones that stick out, I will generalize this, the ones that stick out are the ones that, you know, have a charitable component to them, have a cause to what their beliefs are, whether it's sustainable, whether it's just being able to give a donation to their charity or whatnot. But I think those are the brands that I find that I would want to shop. And I think it's super important that, you know, everybody, as we move forward, that we really, you know, stay authentic, but we also understand that the consumer really wants to know the people behind our brands, whether you're a fashion buyer, whether you're a clothing brand.
With the success of Fashwire, whether it was just you wanted more responsibility, saw more need, like how did you add more to your plate? Glosswire, like how'd that come about?
Well, my marketing head, Cyrus, she's my best Google gal. And she did some research and she saw that I owned some beauty domains. And she was like, we have to do this. So then we reached out to Samantha, who works for us, and we had a conversation. We got Sebri involved and then we got our developer involved and went to my investors and they were 100% behind it. And it was great. You know, Samantha took on getting brands and, you know, Syra took on the marketing side of it. And it was really a collaborative effort between all of us. And we launched in February 2021 with 50 brands that we had been developing behind the scenes. So
it's amazing. So what kind of response have you gotten so far from this one?
Well, we are over 250 brands now. So
yes, that's what I wanted to hear.
I would say we're doing okay. It's been a great response. You know, we have a lot of, you know, celebrity, we have quite a few celebrity brands that have partnered with their brands. And it's really exciting to see. I mean, just an example, like yesterday, you know, I told you we really promote our brands on social to give them that exposure. And one of the brands is, you know, owned by partnership with Ricky Martin, and he shared our post. And we thought that was so great, you know, that it's just to really get the brands behind us and really want to share their success with our success. It's really exciting. So beauty has really, it's taken on an own path of its own, but it's incredible.
I know I opened up this interview talking about us finally getting to meet and me going to a launch party for Casa Wire with our director of publishing, Jeff Norskog, who also attended. And it was, first off, you put on a great show. First off, like everything that you do, top notch, the location, venue, the guests. I mean, it was amazing. But Casa Wire. So as if Fashwire, Glosswire, it makes sense. Casa Wire, but completely different industry, completely different market. Like, what's the expectation for this launch? I don't think you're live yet, but what's the expectation?
So it's the same concept as, you know, as beauty and fashion, but targeting the home and decor market. And we're going to launch in Q1 of 2023. We've also added an additional feature, which is interior designers can create rooms. And, and the consumer can actually go in and buy through those rooms. So it's pretty exciting to watch that, you know, be built and to see how fantastic it is. I'm already, you know, my entrepreneur mind is like, how do we do this in fashion and beauty? You know,
yeah, but, I was thinking the same thing. And then I'm like, just be quiet, Adam, because
but I am already 10 steps ahead. But it's exciting. You know, we have quite a few brands already built up behind the scenes. Originally, we were, you know, planning to launch, you know, in Q4, but we really want to do it right. And with furniture and decor, there's thousands and thousands of products. So there's a lot to get uploaded, but the app is done, the platform's done. And now we're just getting the brands onboarded. And we have a few more shows to tackle this in Q4. And we're excited for a Q1 launch.
And being in the launch mode, are you accepting or bringing on investors for this opportunity? Or like, what does that side of scaling look like?
Well, you know, we're a startup. We're always raising. We're in a round right now and it's going well. And we really have a great group of investors with the company. So I've raised from private angels and it's been a really great experience, you know, to have this incredible brand community, my incredible team, the consumer, and our investors that support us. So it's exciting.
As a founder, talking to a founder, I know it's always tricky when you're bringing on capital because it's not just, you know, raising capital to raise and obviously deploy it. I mean, that's part of it, but you want the right types of investors on board. You want the people that see the long-term vision. And you're also tackling, I mean, some really big markets and you're making some, you know, some big strides and some leaps there, both with the brands that you're bringing on and representing, and just with the footprint and the community that you're building, right? Like some of the stories you shared today, those aren't common. What type of investors typically make the most sense to be in that family of investors, if you will?
You know, our investor pool consists of technology, business owners to the fashion industry, beauty industry, and now even home and decor. Mm-hmm. And really, I think people who understand the retail and the tech industry have been really great for us. They've also helped progress us forward. And, you know, I think the private angels is where I've stayed. You know, I'm not The VCs have tried, but I'm not interested. Yeah. I really just, you know, we have a great group of investors and we're super content with what we have.
It's great. I know you got a lot going on, but I have to ask the question, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for the companies?
Continue to scale and grow and build upon our team that we already have. You know, I've been so fortunate that I couldn't have done any of this without my incredible team. And they really have, we all work together so well. And it's really a collaborative effort. And I just couldn't be more grateful in this time where, you know, it's hard to find good workers, that we really have an incredible team.